College basketball fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall. I'm Chris. And we're here to banter back and forth, disagree mostly, predict some stuff, pertaining to, of course, college basketball. And life got in the way on Monday, so here we are on a Wednesday. And this thing's coming down to it right here, dude. I mean, we really don't have much. Someone that lives up north here, up here in Minnesota, is loving watching February slowly tick away. And March is right around the corner, dude, this weekend, next weekend. And, yeah, that means what's next is conference final, knock on wood, that we can have our conference finals and everything goes smooth there. But, man, this thing is really coming down the stretch run of the season. And, you know, we're starting to see a fair amount of upsets, you know, whether it's just like we spoke just a moment ago off air, whether it's just a deep conference and anyone can beat anyone. We know that with the Big Ten and we know that with the Big 12, especially those two conferences. But the Blue Bloods and just upsets are taking place left and right. The Blue Bloods are pissed off. Kentucky dominated Tennessee. Michigan State beat Illinois. North Carolina, they're not doing good right now. I'm sure you'll hear that from my co-host. But they freaking put a whooping on Louisville. Like, we're starting to see some of this place take place in general. But even yesterday, a number 5-ranked Illinois squad beat by Michigan State. Oklahoma, who's been really, really ultra hot, they lose to Kansas State. Georgia Tech beats Virginia Tech. Oklahoma State beats a ranked Texas Tech. That's not a huge surprise, of course, but because, you know, Oklahoma State's a pretty good club. But I'm talking left and right. The ranked teams are falling. Teams like Kansas is starting to come up back into it. I know they just lost, but they've gotten their self back into position. So there is a lot to discuss, no doubt. We're going to talk about the last couple of days. We're going to look forward till this weekend, even tomorrow. Like Big 12 and Big 10, it's just a ton of matchups. Look at tomorrow, number nine Iowa versus number 3 Michigan. That's a huge game. Shit, even Ohio State, Michigan State is a big game. It was supposed to be West Virginia and Baylor that night, but that got postponed. Baylor did get the rust off, barely getting by Iowa State. We'll see. What happens there with them. But number 5, Illinois, back at it against Wisconsin. And even on that same day, number 2, Baylor. Hopefully this actually happens against number 17, Kansas. You look at Sunday is a game we'll talk about too. Number 9, Iowa against number 4, Ohio State. Long story short, it's popping off. Let's just put it that way. It's popping off. So we're going to get into some recap. We're going to get into some banter back and forth. We're going to preview and predict some of these games coming up. We'll definitely give a variety of predictions. But real quick, if this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. It streams live right here on Blog Talk Radio. However, you know, you don't have to go to Blog Talk and Rope-A-Dope Radio and download the show right there or listen to it in the browser. You can find this show here under the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, almost across the board. We're also part of the Grueling True Sports Podcast Network, which can be found almost everywhere. While you're at it, why don't you head on over? Sorry, I had to take some water there. Head on over to thegruelingtrue.com. It's basketball, football, boxing, baseball, everything in between. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They do have a 7-day free trial. Of course, there's no annual contracts once you sign up. The plans start as low as $55 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. You get a free week of HBO Max just for signing up. But if you sign up for the Max package, that'll include HBO Max plus a free month of Showtime, which is normally $11. That's AT&T TV Now, like I said, live streaming cable. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host. and seeing how he's doing. Obviously, you know, it's been a struggle in Texas, to say the least, all over the state, Houston, Dallas, I mean, all over, really, almost. And it's been pretty crazy, dude. You know, people up north here, when it's cold out, are like scratching their heads saying, why didn't something work? I'm confused. But what do you mean? Like, when it gets cold, shit works up here. Pretty scary situation. We're not going to get into it politically, but how's it going in your area and just in general? Because it has been a shit show down there, man.
I'm very fortunate and lucky. I did not have my power turned off. I lost water for one day. But since I'm a guy who grew up and drove through Alaska, Canada, Minnesota, North Dakota, and I felt comfortable doing it. I delivered groceries on Instacart, so I made a good chunk of money. Obviously, people down here are not used to this kind of weather, and it didn't help that the state was literally taking turns turning off people's power. Like, I do get that, hey, you're going to be driving in weather that you're not used to. People don't know how to use the brakes properly or, you know, drive on ice. I get all that. But for the most part, that normally doesn't cause – that might cause some car damage, but there's normally not going to be – deaths or physical harmness or anything. But to see 30 to 40 people died in the Dallas metro area, Dallas Fort Worth area, due to snow and cold temperatures is really sad. A couple of medical facilities, people were unable, passed away due to like a lack of water. A grandpa in a Dallas home suffered from hypothermia. Which, again, you know, I know that we are used to the cold when I was living up there with your brother, where, you know, when it gets to be 10 degrees, sure, it's cold as hell, but you're inside your house and your house has, you know, a heater on or you have electricity. But, and I don't care how tough you are from Minnesota, dude, if I was living back home in Minnesota and we lost power for a day in January, I'd be cold too. Like,
yes,
I know,
if it's 30 or 40 degrees, it's cold. I mean, that's just the bottom line. You try to sleep with that stuff. It's not easy.
No. And actually, I talked to about 50 of my class, my 50 of my kids in my classroom, and I bet probably 15 of them lost power for a good 2 to 4 day window. And again, there's a difference of handling snow and handling, dude, I need like a ton of blankets. Like, that's not normal. And one of the teachers I spoke to in the hallway today said that she has a newborn. And she was in that situation where she was getting power on she would get power for a couple minutes, or like 40 minutes, and lose it for like a couple hours. But, you know, she was trying to give her baby milk. And, you know, again, being a young mother, you know, or a newborn kid, you got to, you know, warm up the milk and everything. And she was like, I literally was trying to time my milk being warmed up for my new baby. And when I had power come on,
right,
you know. So, yes, you can laugh at Texas for suffering with the cold, but what you shouldn't laugh at, which was really embarrassing, was the fact that the state, due to poor decisions, put people in very weird circumstances that no one from Minnesota, North Dakota were even used to. So I'm happy it's over. But, hell, I went out one day, and there were the four gas stations near my house, Chris, all the pumps were out of commission because there was no gas because the refinery trucks weren't able to deliver gas.
Right. That was another thing. Delivering everything, food and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
and unfortunately, people also freaked out and went to grocery stores like it was early COVID and emptied the shelves, which again, you don't have to do, but people are in a dire circumstance. And I do get buying water because hell, if you don't have water in your house, I'd go buy Gatorade and water too. And there was even a guy near my apartment complex who was out in his cowboy boots and shorts, but he was putting water into like a big metal pan just to melt the water so he could have water for his house. You know, so I'm happy it's over. I hope that this is a remembering moment for in the future when we do get snow again in a blizzard of, hey, here's how to handle the situation. Let's make sure that we don't have people who pass away from hypothermia or suffer from nursing home pain that they don't deserve. So, again, I know it probably won't happen for a while, but hopefully this was a bad enough moment to where, hey, like this shit was embarrassing as a state, like our people who live in Texas don't have to deal with it. So I don't know. We'll see. I kind of live in a stubborn state, but hopefully that was a catch 22 moment of We need to be prepared for this. So, yeah.
Yeah, man.
But moving on to a little bit of a lighter topic, college basketball, it's getting better. This is the getting close to the best time of the year. As Chris and I were saying, whether it's on purpose or not, now's when matchups start to get fun. Obviously, as you know, as a college basketball fan, a schedule is always made before the season starts. But sometimes schedules have a way of working out to be really awesome matchups. And as Chris was saying before our show, we have a really loaded week of great matchups this year, or of the following 7 days. So if you're a fan, obviously we're getting close to conference tournaments. We're getting close to March Madness. Everything's starting to look really good. We're going to have a lot of intriguing matchups. But for my little rant, I'll throw it back to you. I'm watching my Tar Heels play right now. They're down 14 to Marquette. This is a Marquette team who I've
watched. D-Wade's not there? No, D-Wade, right? D-Wade's out?
Okay. I've watched this Marquette team shoot 20% in a half four different times this year. 20%. Like, I've watched them and bet on them and watched some games where they literally are chucking up bricks. And they currently have 63 points on Carolina, and there's 10 minutes left in the game. Now, we're down 14. I don't think we can maybe come back to win, but Marquette's hitting threes. Marquette doesn't make threes. I've never seen this team shoot this good. So clearly Carolina's deep. I'm just going to stop because it'll be like a three-minute rant. I'm hoping to interrupt you at some point and say Carolina got the lead and Carolina won, but this is very frustrating to do a live show and see your team getting pummeled by a team who you've called out on this podcast numerous times as a trash team when you're getting whooped at home. But I digress, Chris. I'm going to move on. I'm going to suck it up. God, they best get their shit together because this is hard to watch.
Well, speaking of hard to watch, the second half and portions of the late part of the first half for my Gophers against Illinois was pretty ugly. It wasn't good. It wasn't good. That point guard that they got has another triple-double, a second in the month. I think there's only been three ever. But the Fighting Illini put up the most points in Minnesota at the Barn since 1991.
Holy God.
Yeah, and like I was saying, that point guard, 19 points, 10 and 10, second freaking triple-double in just a month, man. Another one I wanted to talk about, Duke. I know this,
you know,
is not,
just,
you know,
one quick thing, is that the fact that Dosunmu actually starting to get a little bit of a closer horse talk there for catching up to Garza for player of the year. I know a lot of people have said this has been Garza's award for the whole year, and it probably will be, but they're starting to get a little bit of a hype on the IU Dosunmu that he has actually creeping into that player of the year possibility just because he's been on fire, as you just mentioned, with his triple double of late, Chris.
Yeah, and his team too. Yeah, you're right. I mean, obviously it just lost Michigan State, but they've been on fire, and I don't think we match obviously two games with them. They've just dumped us both times, and so the matchup's not great, obviously, but they do, you know, we did run on some you know, Robbins, the center's hurt now. He only played a couple of minutes in the second half. And a shooting guard who, you know, hasn't been hitting the threes and whatnot, but he is a good defender. He's out now, and he's out. So it was just ugly in general. Speaking of the Blue Bloods, though, I talked about how North Carolina put up a bunch of points on Louisville, who had just came back from a rest. Now Virginia is the first time all year they lost back-to-back games. This one 66-65 in a very close game, obviously very competitive. Duke got their first win this year over a AP ranked squad. They were 0-3 walking into it. That was something I thought was noteworthy. And also the game of the day, I thought, was West Virginia in Texas, 84-82. West Virginia walks out with a win. A couple things come to mind here. You know, ever since Texas went through that COVID part where they had four players and their coach gone, but then they took a rest ever since they've been back at it. Now, they got a win last night against Kansas. That helps, but they've been struggling. And in this game, I mean, it started out lovely. They put up 53 points in the first half, the most since most versus a top 25 team in 8 years for Texas. They shot the ball 70% from the field. They were freaking hot. But next thing you know, West Virginia comes on a run, and they trail. They were down 19 in the second half and ended up giving that up. McNeil had, I think, all of his 16 in the second half for West Virginia. And look at the free throw disparity. 26 of 37 isn't great at 70%, but 37 times is the key thing there. And Texas, 4 of 11. First of all, 4 of 11 is horrible, 36%. But 11 to 37 times for the free throws? Wow, that's crazy. This Texas team, maybe, like I said, next or last night, digs them out of the hole that they're in, the funk that they're in. But they're having all sorts of issues, and they're not coming together as a team right now, because in one of those games, you had a player going after another player talking about defense and whatnot, but they were really – you know, animated, let's put it this way. There's a lot. This is a veteran team that may not like each other.
Well, and, you know, it seems about every two or three podcasts, I'll ask you a question that I'll never give you any prep for, and you'll not know an answer for. So I'm going to do that now, but I don't know it either. West Virginia has now won six straight road conference games. I'm not sure who else in the country has done that. I'm not saying it hasn't happened, but Chris, that's a tremendous stat. Again, we're talking about a Power 5 conference, one of the best in the whole land. And we're just talking about how, especially of late, it's been an upset kind of last couple of 10 days. West Virginia has won six straight road games. And you can't play the six worst team – or the excuse me. You can't play the worst team in your conference six times in a row. We always like to seem to talk about West Virginia as, oh, it's the same Bob Huggins team that they're going to have their little run every year, and then they normally struggle to make it through the first week of the tournament. This might be a different kind of squad, because even, I mean, you could go through, besides Gonzaga, you know, and besides Baylor, I mean, you probably name any other team in the country. I'm not sure. It's probably a list of 10 teams or less. So this might be a different squad than we're used to, because, again, I know I'm harping on this, but I think it truly shows the way this year's been with all the COVID issues, with, you know, different travel plans, with different no home crowds, whatever the situation is. You win six road games in a row. Yeah. I think that puts you on a bit of a different level than most teams have in the country right now.
Yeah, that's a great point. I knew it had been recently, but I didn't know it was six straight. Wow, that is phenomenal. And they had some you know, close games or just losses to really good teams on the road earlier in the season. So now they've really turned it around. And you have Texas Tech, who was on a run, then they fall back. If you look at the conference itself, we will in a little bit, it's just a mess, because it's not like you could sit there and shit on Texas Tech either. They could make it to the Sweet 16. You know what I mean? Like, that's not out of the realm. As far as the weekend goes, just kind of wrapping it up though. I know we're midweek now, but that, Michigan, you know, first of all, I'm not picking against Michigan again. Now it's been two times in a row, Wisconsin and Ohio State losing, but that game was a pretty, pretty game, dude. 45-43 Michigan at the half, and then 47-44, 92-87 overall. Dickinson, obviously, you know, had a very productive game. That Dwayne Washington Jr. for Ohio State is damn good, too. Both teams shooting the ball extremely well. I mean, look at these numbers. 53% from both of them, 53.3 and 53.4 just from the field. And then basically 48% and 50 from three. I guess you could look at, you know, the turnovers. That was where, you know, some of it happened, but not really, because it was just 9-7. This was an even game. a fun game, kind of a mixture of the new style of ball with hard-nosed play, I guess you could say. I wouldn't say just hard-nosed defense because of the shooting percentages in the points, but overall, this was a pretty fun game to watch. It felt like that Elite Eight, Sweet 16, Final Four feel to it. Big game, and it lived up to the hype, and Michigan got the dub.
What I truly like is just looking at the three-point percentages and how they are. Michigan, 11 of 23, they shot 47% from three. Ohio State, 11 of 22, 50%. And why I say this, Chris, is because I've been watching more and more college basketball. And some of the shot selections of teams who have a ranking next to them, it just blows my mind at how just a lot of teams this year lack quality point guards. And I say that because if you have a stud point guard, your offense doesn't take a lot of garbage shots. Like, for example, I watched the Oregon-Colorado game, and I'll tie this all together. I watched Oregon play Colorado this past week, and they're the third and fourth best team in the Pac-12 standings. And again, the Pac-12 is supposed to be a respectable top five conference. The Oregon was 3 of 14 at half on threes, and Colorado was like 4 of 15. So you start to, like, you see some of these numbers of a lot of these college games, and it's like, I think that we've become a sport where the sabermetric people say, dude, a three is more than two. Well, yes, I do get a three-point shot's more valuable than a two, but if your team is garbage at shooting threes, why do you keep jacking the three-pointers up? Same with or just almost any team. You'll see these guys in college this year continuously take shots that are from, like, a Steph Curry range and miss them, but the coach doesn't pull them.
I was going to say, it's your boy's fault. Curry, everybody, for a while, everybody wanted to jump all high with their tongue out when Jordan came in the league. Now they want to take a step in from, you know, passing the half court.
It just blows my mind to see so many poor teams with lack of execution. Again, are they a garbage team? No, but your offensive sets are so poorly executed. But when you saw this game, this is, to my opinion, I didn't even watch a second of the game. You can clearly see these are well-prepared teams. They both shot almost 50% from the field, well, both shot over, and both shot pretty much 50% from three. Michigan was 80% from the free throw line. Ohio State was 92%. That's freaking tremendous. There's a shitload of teams in college basketball that cannot shoot 92% from the line. I know it's only 12 of 13, but again, that's not a fluke experience. Not many college teams do that. So, again, obviously, someone won. Both these teams are still deeply in the running to make to be a number one seed. But just from the box score alone of how much this game has changed and just offenses are not that functional, clearly both these teams are functional. Both these teams should make a pretty nice run in the Big Ten tournament. Knock on wood, that goes smooth as we're hoping. But yeah, Chris, it was fun just to see two top-notch teams compete in a really fun, high-scoring game. And also, not to mention that, it was 92-87, which is a really high-scoring game for college. So you think, okay, it's a track meet up and down, lots of turnovers. No, right. Michigan had 7, Ohio State had 9. That's also tremendous. So I know I'm kind of really going over the stats here, not from an analytical standpoint, just from kind of a black and white standpoint. This was a really well-played game between two teams who shot the ball well and made from the free throw line, which you don't always see as much this year.
And somehow, some way, my Minnesota Gophers slapped both these teams in the mouth, too. I can't believe it. We beat Michigan by 18 points, dude. Oh, man, that is crazy. But it's a crazy year. It's a crazy year in general. And just looking at this Big 12 conference, Baylor, of course, hasn't lost still. They're 10-0, so they've had it for quite a while. We've known for quite a while it's going to be back-to-back years without a Kansas victory. Although Kansas is, you know, on the up and up, but look at this shit. I mean, Texas Tech is a good club. We just talked about them. They're 6-7. Oklahoma State is 8-6. They're scrappy, dude. Texas 8-5. If they can find their groove, maybe, like I said, this win that they got in overtime, they snuck it out. Maybe that'll spark them. Who knows? Oklahoma 9-5. KU 11-6. West Virginia now 9-4. and 16-6, but Texas Tech 18th in the country, but yet 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams ahead of them. That's freaking really shows you the depth there. And like I said, let's see how Baylor closes. They barely got by Iowa State. They had, you know, they've been off for a while now. So we'll see exactly how they do, you know, in some of the big games they got coming up, some of them that will feature. If you look at the Big East, so it's interesting the way they're doing this right now. Villanova's 10-2, Creighton's 12-4, and this is something a couple months ago when we started the show for the season, we thought, well, this is going to be weird. You know, Creighton and some other teams have more games. In this case, 4 more games. How are they going to do this? Well, they're tied right now on top. Even though the winning percentage is different, they are tied on the top. Seton Hall is 2 games out. UConn is 3 games out. Villanova just beat them. I think they beat them 4 or 6 straight times, the first time in like 30 years, because obviously UConn has had a great program. But coming up, just around the corner, Villanova and Creighton. And Creighton won the first game. They got a shot to come up and sneak up and take this conference away.
Yeah, and that was the game we picked not too long ago on a podcast. And I simply had said that Creighton had not played a full 40-minute game for the past pretty much 2 months. And they put one together and beat Villanova, I believe, around 15 to 16 points. So you would assume you would have a pretty inspired Villanova team coming to face off against Creighton, and they're in Philadelphia. So I'd expect a pretty good performance. I'm not saying Creighton can't sweep them. I'm not going to doubt them again, but I don't see Villanova losing by 16 again to a Creighton team who, again, their best effort was that. But yeah, that decides the division, because unfortunately no one else is close enough to make it tight. I know that a lot of the teams are on the bubble. Seton Hall, that team is just, I've watched a ton of Big East this year. They have so many pieces, but they can't seem to ever put it together. But they're a bubble team. UConn's a bubble team with Book Knight back now, the guy I've loved all year. One of the best scorers in the whole nation. He was out with elbow surgery. He's come back now. The team's been playing better. And Xavier's also a bubble team. I don't think they're that good of an offense. But to give them a little bit of a break, they've had a COVID stop twice in the year. So you have to give a team some slack because you don't have your regular practice formality. And St. John's was a bubble team, and they lost to DePaul, who was in the bottom of the conference, have to really dig themselves back out of a hole. But I don't know. I've really enjoyed watching this conference this year. And I think Villanova and Creighton are obviously the top two dogs, but those other teams I mentioned all could cause issues in the tournament just because – it's just from top to bottom a pretty respectable conference, Chris.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It is. And like I said, the top, we'll see how far they go. But no doubt about it. And I remember us talking about UConn. Didn't they get like a big win and then that dude was hurt? And it was like, oh.
Yes.
Okay. We'll see where they go. And they've been marinating around anyway long enough. Later tonight, Alabama at Arkansas.
Ooh.
And I actually am picking I say underdog, but it's only a ranking underdog. Right now, they are the 2-point favorite, and they're double favorite, dude, because according to ESPN's Basketball Power Index, which Las Vegas goes by this, obviously, 53.2% to 46.8%. Even the best power index in the world has them winning. So I got the Hogs taken down. Well, there's not going to be any kind of roll Titan, if that makes sense. Which it really doesn't, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. You know, the one thing I'll say about Bama, and I've watched them about 4 times, my knock on them is that they're soft. That's my Bama hot take, is I think they're a soft team. They play a pretty fun offense to get them down the court. They have a big, they have a small. I mean, they have talented players, but I don't think that they're a tough team. So and again, I'm not necessarily breaking down Arkansas's how tough they are. But moving forward, Bama, if you can slow the game down a bit and be physical, that's their one issue. Maybe I've not seen Bama's best performance, but obviously Arkansas is going to give them one tonight. Arkansas has been having a nice year. Their conference record's been respectable. They've maybe been a team that's not been talked about as much in the SEC play this year, Chris, but that'll be a very fun game to watch. Hopefully, after we finish our podcast and my Tar Heels come back to win, I can enjoy that game with a smile on my face. But it'll be a fun one to enjoy. I'll take Bama to win. I hope they're not soft tonight. I hope they get them down the court and have a fun screen game. The over-under for that game is almost like 160. So you're going to see a really high-scoring, high-flying game when those teams face off against each other here shortly on a Wednesday evening.
Luckily, Michigan tomorrow night's not playing the Gophers because it was 75-57, but they haven't lost since then. They have been on a heck of a run, especially, I mean, Wisconsin coming right off of missing three games. They go right into at Wisconsin, got it. Beating Rutgers, who's better than they were earlier, got it. That beautiful win at Ohio State. I mean, at some point, they got to freaking lose, right? We're not going to start to talk about this team that just runs the rest of the table and then goes into the big dance without having taken another L in a long time. Sometimes that's problematic. But, you know, I don't mind picking with Wisconsin to win. The last two times I've done it against ranked teams, they've lost because I'll either get the prediction right or the Badgers lose. You know, and being that I'm a Minnesota boy, I don't mind them losing. But in this one, I've gone against Michigan twice now. And it's Iowa's visiting Michigan tomorrow night. Is that the time where the offense and defense catches all up and Iowa just puts on a performance that Michigan just cannot hang with? Is this the time that the Wolverines finally lose a game, something that they haven't done in quite a while?
No, I don't think so. I think I've watched Iowa's last three games, and Garza's a stud, but their guards to me, and I'm nitpicking like I like to, but for my eye test, the Marshall Rota Index, their guard play has not been that good of late. They're winning games because they have talented players and they have their moments where they can shoot well, but against Wisconsin, their guard play wasn't that, I didn't think, was that tremendous. They just, Badgers aren't that great this year. And even against Penn State whooped up on Iowa against them in their first half at home. Yeah. It seems like unless Luka Garza is killing people on the block, the guards, it's like their offense is just, it doesn't seem to flow like as much as it should. And if Iowa's not busting threes, I don't think that team is, I'll say this, Chris, I've lost some stock in them for being a Final Four team, just because sure. I don't think their guard play is consistent enough. And defensively, as we've said this all year, they're not a great team. So now you have a team who has Luka Garza, obviously, but Michigan's also got their big two in Dickinson. So you could say they cancel out, or at least Garza's not going to own him on the block. And now you have a Michigan full-fledged team that plays offense and defense against an Iowa team that's more offensive-based with a lack of guard consistency, in my opinion. I'll gladly take Michigan. Michigan's only -4.5. I will take the Wolverines to the betting window tomorrow night for that one.
Man. And, you know, I have noticed that the scores that they're winning by Iowa are getting better from a defensive point of view, 58, 62, 68. But that is Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Penn State. We got to keep that involved. And I think I'm just tap dancing here. Okay, I'm going to go Michigan. Watch, they're going to lose now. Watch. Watch this shit. Yeah, I'm going to go Michigan too. I've tried. And I guess to get them to lose, I got to pick with them. But yeah, I just figure they're going to lose before that. Maybe they'll lose in the tournament. It is what it is. Come Saturday, we have a variety of big matchups, no doubt about it, all across the board Saturday and Sunday. Texas Tech Both of them need a dub, especially Texas. This could kind of spark them. That's a CBS 11 o'clock game. I like that game. I'm actually we're going to actually bounce back off this. And also, number five, Illinois, who just lost, is visiting Wisconsin. Will this be the time that they break through? What do you think of those two games? And I'll follow up with the picks.
I know Wisconsin has a ranking, but going back to last week, like when the Wisconsin Iowa line at Wisconsin was like Iowa minus one, it got bet to Wisconsin minus one. Wisconsin got murdered by Iowa. That wasn't even a game. And now Wisconsin has to play Illinois, who, in my opinion, is better than Iowa. I got to take Illinois. I mean, Wisconsin's offense just isn't that consistent this year. And Illinois is a team that when they're on, team to score 85 in a given night, home or away. So I got to take Illinois. I'm assuming Illinois is going to be probably like a 3 to 4 point favorite at Wisconsin. If they're less than that, I would definitely look at betting that. But I'll take Illinois for sure. And then for the first game, Texas and Texas Tech, they both seem to play really close games. It seems like almost every time.
Everybody in the Big 12 does, it seems.
Yeah, it seems like all of Texas Tech's games are within a single digit, whether it's a win or a loss. I will take Texas Tech. But I would be surprised when we recap this one next week if, again, either team wins by more than a single digit. So I'll take Texas Tech to win. But this literally is a true coin flip game. If you look at both teams' resumes and how they play, you should just expect a really close, entertaining game.
Yeah, and I believe Texas Tech did beat them, but that's when they had the four guys out. I'm going to flip it. First of all, I'm picking the Badgers because I like this feel. You know, I like this loosey-goosey. Either I get an upset of the week, right? Or sure. I just get to see the Badgers lose again. So, I mean, I'm pretty happy here. So I'm picking the Badgers. It's a win-win for me, lose-lose for them. I don't care, even though, according to ESPN's Basketball Power Index, Texas Tech, the Red Raiders, 65.9%. Screw the percentages on this one. I'm going to go with the Longhorns. Finally, the stuff happens positive to them in close games rather than what's been happening lately. And they've been losing some games they probably shouldn't. Sure, some of it's schedule or whatever. They did get a game, I believe, in overtime, but a close one, 75-72. Last night over Kansas. They're on a little bit of a winning streak, like three out of their four out of the last five. Long story short, I keep believing in this Longhorn squad because of stuff I saw earlier in the year and stuff I saw when they're shorthanded. But ever since they took that long break, and you could see that they literally, a teammate, both of them look like they're about to fight each other. Which is okay if you can sit there and yell at each other and it's over, but they got a little bit too close. But maybe that's what sparks them. You know, maybe that is what is going to spark them. So I'm going to go Texas. And then later that night, in primetime on ESPN, number 2 Baylor versus number 17 Kansas, who, like I said, was 0-4, I believe, against the ranked team. Of late, they hadn't, you know, beaten one, and then they finally got over the hump, and got a win over Texas Tech. They had won, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in a row before West Virginia kind of closed them out in Tennessee. Where is that Tennessee team that just slapped them around the court 80-61? What do you think? Baylor still got some rust on them. Could Kansas sneak up and say, hey, we're not going to win this year. We're kind of pissed. We need to win more than you.
I think Kansas has been playing better of late. I think that easily goes to show with their record and their ranking and kind of moving back up in the standings. But I'm just going to take Baylor just being the more skilled team this year, and hopefully that rust shakes off. It's been weird, too, because some teams, Chris, who have come off a break have come out looking good. but it seems like maybe 60% of the teams have come off breaks have been slow. So it's kind of like a 60-40. Well, maybe the guys regroup. Maybe they had a great week of practice. Maybe some injuries healed. Or maybe there's a lot of gym rust. So it's really kind of hard to predict. But I'll just go based off skill and the way they've gone so far this year. I will take Baylor to win that game.
Yeah, I got Baylor off depth, off, you know, the different guys that can handle the ball, off of two bigs that they got, not just the starting big. So, yeah, I got Baylor as well. I'm really liking them, man. I don't know. Right now they're my pick for the chip to cut down the nets. But, you know, nothing's concrete just yet. One more game to predict here. And this is just Big Ten, dude. Sunday, number 9, Iowa, going to number 4, Ohio State. And our favorite and everybody's favorite, really, ESPN Basketball Power Index. Man, that's the third time I've said it. They got Iowa having no problems whatsoever. 54.6, Power Index to win over them. Did they play before? Let me check really quick. I feel like they played. And I guess I was feeling the wrong part of my body because they didn't play. They didn't play at all. Ohio State, though, you can't really look at them like it's a bad thing to lose to Michigan, especially the way they did. But they've been on a complete tear besides a two-point game. January 19th, 67-65 to Purdue. And obviously, you'd have to date back to Jesus, back to you know who, the Gophers, 77-60. They lost on the road in January. But other than that, they have been, you know, kicking ass, taking names. Now, obviously, they got Michigan State before this matchup. But what says you about this one? Can Iowa get a key win on the road? Because they need it, too, to kind of build back. Hold on. Before you answer that, you said Iowa, you're kind of falling off them on the Final Four. How many Final Four teams do you get? Do you get like 7 or 8 of them? Or because I'm starting, you got a lot of Final Four teams, but there's only 4 teams that can make it. That's a question you got to answer out of nowhere like you do to me. Thank you.
Well, isn't it smart on a podcast to just kind of, you know, like, you know, just throw out
have
a line
7 Final Four teams?
Yeah, it is smart. I got like 8 fishing poles in the water. I'm going to catch like 1 fish, right? Isn't that – I'm playing the odds, friend. I think I'm doing that right.
No, you are. I'm just not allowing it to happen.
Fair. So you're taking away my boat. Now I'm going to be fishing off the shore. It's a little more tougher.
1 pole, 1 worm, 1 bobber.
Well, shit, right now my 1 fishing pole says Gonzaga. That's my Final Four pick. I know I'm really going off on a big upset pick there. Yeah. Dear Lord, Carolina. Holy shit, this is beyond embarrassing.
They better not get
Lord.
Into a region with frickin' the Gophers. That's all I'm going to say.
Dear God, Marquette, this is effing embarrassing. Moving on. Again, if I just literally a while ago picked against Iowa saying I don't trust their guard consistency in play, I can't trust them to beat Iowa to beat Ohio State on the road either. Again, Luka Garza is a stud, to give the man credit. I know they had a rough kind of first half against Penn State, but in the second half, Luka Garza became the number one scorer in Iowa history. I mean, the dude's had a hell of a year. I think he's going to be a really good pro. You don't see many guys nowadays, Chris, especially with the way the game has changed, who have just good post-up moves, and he does. And he also can shoot the three, and he's also a good passer that knows how to work out of a double team. So he's like a 5-star talented guy. But unfortunately,
he's got a good head of hair, too.
Yeah, he's got the look. He kind of looks like almost like a football player. He's a big dude. So, but I'm going to take Ohio State to win. I don't think Iowa can do it.
And I don't know if it's like a wrestling bias, because I wrestled and Iowa was really good at it when we were coming up with Gable and whatnot. But I'm going. The Hawkeyes got to break through in one of these big games. And so I'm going Hawkeyes. I'm going Hawkeyes to get the dub. Anything else, sir, before we wrap this puppy up? You want to pick another Final Four team? There's 28 of them, so go right ahead.
Okay, so I currently, I believe I have a fishing pole for Gonzaga, and I took out the pole in Iowa. I was no longer.
But it's already in the water. You got the license. It's already in the water.
Reel it up.
Can't take that back. It's in there.
All right, so Alabama's too soft. I'm sure as hell not taking Kansas. All the blue buds are off the table. Sure, my Carolina Tar Heels probably going to fall out of the bubble after this freaking joke of a game tonight. Right now, I mean, I think the only team I really got, I'm looking at for a possible Final Four team, it might just be Gonzaga. Gonzaga might win the Final Four and go there with no one else.
Man.
I will.
Screw Baylor. Baylor's just a bunch of garbage.
They suck.
Okay.
Yeah. If I call and predict this right, it would be a hell of a pick. I'm gonna go currently right now on February 24th, 7:56 Central Time, Chris.
7:57.
I'm gonna say
it just turned. I swear to God, when you said it turned 7:57. Go ahead.
I'm gonna say that the Big Ten has three teams that make the Final Four this
year. Yeah, so it's the Big Ten against Gonzaga. Gonzaga ain't winning that.
The Big Ten will have three teams in the Final Four this year. Lock it in, 7:57, February 24th.
That's happened before years ago, and the Big East got it like 2011. Remember? They had like three of them, I think.
Yeah. So can you have one
so it's the Big Ten against Gonzaga.
I
feel bad for the Zags, dude. I feel bad for the Zags with that lineup, dude.
I have a Big Ten yacht that just says Big Ten yacht. It's reserves. it's a party boat with some fish.
Nice.
So yeah, Big Ten yacht. All right, that's my hot take for this week. We'll see if that hits. Hell, if I fill out my bracket that way, we could win a couple of brackets. We go all Big Ten.
Well, and that would involve Iowa too. So I mean, you could still get it. You never know.
Or your Gophs. Your Gophs or Purdue or Maryland.
But I'm saying
you
can get both right.
True. You're right.
I'm sticking to the Iowa Final Four. You said it like on the second show. So once you say it, there's no going back.
Damn.
I mean, as far as on the record, you cannot pick them up.
Can I ask you to double check that or maybe stop the count or fake news? Which adjective do I have to use?
That's the first one you said was Iowa. Well, actually, I think we talked both about Gonzaga. Like, hey, this is a year, if any, they have quality wins. They beat Iowa, didn't they? Yeah, they beat Iowa. They beat Iowa in the non-conference. They have actually some really quality wins. They just haven't played anybody in 2021.
True.
You know, that's the only problem.
All right. Well, Carolina didn't even make progress in the second half. This is embarrassing. So I'm going to end the show and hopefully – enjoy watching a fun Alabama-Arkansas game because this Carolina game is complete trash. How do you let a team that shoots 20% most of their games drop 82 on you at home? Dear Lord. Anyways, I hope everyone enjoys basketball this week. I hope your team, whoever you cheer for, wins, unlike my Tar Heels are playing right now. And, hey, we're getting closer and closer to March Madness. For all we know, COVID vaccine has been working. Numbers have been improving. Mm. It seems like for the most part across the country, things are getting good. And I hope that enables everyone to enjoy conference tournaments, because as Chris and I said before on some other shows, if conference tournaments get affected, that really changes the whole setup of March Madness. I'm not saying it wouldn't happen, but conference tournaments plays really help set up the bracket for whatever reason, you know. So I hope those are able to go into effect. And yes, on that note, stay safe, wear a mask, enjoy time with your loved ones. For sure, stay warm, especially after what happened lately in Texas. The boys are out tonight. Have a good one. Peace.